series kind of for the year in the sense of what I hope will be our emphasis about being very careful how we live. But again, we did the service a little bit different today, but I was happy for that because I felt like it gave some context to the message. And I just wanted to read to you. Our passage that we've been studying is found in Ephesians 5, and so this is the beginning of Paul's letter here. Speaking of Jesus, he says, in him we have redemption through his blood. And we kind of take those words for granted, but it means that Jesus literally gave his blood on the cross. That his blood was spilt as he was beaten prior to being crucified. But that brings us forgiveness of sins. And I love this part here. It says, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. I think if the sermon is going to mean anything to you, you probably need to be coming from the sense that God has really been kind and gracious to you. That he's saved you from life and he's from death and he's given you life. So I hope that will kind of form the backdrop of our thoughts today. But let's read this together if you don't mind. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. So we want to focus our attention this morning on make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And opportunity is a good, fun word. A lot of times we think of opportunity, we think of good opportunities. And but I thought it might be helpful, again, just a little bit, to look into the life of the man who wrote these words and to see some of how he, his experiences that he lived and went through. And so for those of you who don't know, Paul was a Pharisee. And so when the idea came, these new Christians, these believers, said that Jesus was the Messiah. They just couldn't put that together because in their minds, the Messiah was going to be a conqueror, a hero, and all those things. And when they said that he was crucified and then he was rose from the dead, it incensed Paul because Paul knew that it couldn't be. Well, then one day, as he was on a mission to capture and imprison Christians, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And so he tells a story. There was a bright light and Jesus spoke to him. And says, you know, why are you persecuting me? And he says, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. And so Jesus met Paul personally and transformed his life. And so he went from a persecutor of the way to a believer in the Lord Jesus. And he experienced a lot of persecution even early in his life of faith. And he had to escape. And I just want to read to you, if you read in the book of Acts, the last part of it, it's some exciting reading, and it tells the story of the last few years of Paul's life. And so I want to read to you some things that have always troubled me in my spirit. And maybe you are troubled too as you read them. So here's Paul who read, be very careful how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity in these evil days. So this is him. He's approaching the end of his life, the last few years of his life, and he says, now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. So he really feels like the Holy Spirit is saying, go to Jerusalem. And he says, I don't know what awaits me except this. He says, the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. That would scare me. I don't know about you, but I've often considered running away from the police. You know what I'm talking about? I've only done it one time. This is the first. I was going down. What's the big 283 from Harrisburg to Lancaster? This is just coming to my mind actually right now. So I'm really driving fast, and I see a police officer, and he seems to turn around. You know what I mean? Like I could see him, and I'm right at the Elizabethtown exit, or one of those exits. So I turn off. And then I take a road, and then I take a road, and then I'm in a driveway, and I'm thinking, what am I going to tell the police officer when he asks me why I'm here? I mean, my heart is starting to beat just telling that story. That's the only time I've ever done that. I'm serious. But I'm trying, even for you to get in your mind, so here is Paul, and he feels like he's being led by the Lord to go to Jerusalem, and all he knows is that jail and suffering lie ahead. That's all he knows for sure. Now, does that not seem, it doesn't seem really right, right? I mean, we think about following the Lord. We don't think about jail and suffering. Matter of fact, we think the exact opposite. We think our kids are going to grow up to be perfect. Our health is going to be wonderful. Our marriage is going to be great. Everything is going to be good. The bills are all going to be paid. But here's Paul. He believes absolutely in the Lord Jesus because he met him on the road to Damascus. The Holy Spirit's been alive and at work in his life, and he feels like he's being told, you know, you need to go to Jerusalem. He says, and I don't know what awaits me except this, that jail and suffering lie ahead. So I think that's important for us to get. Now, just because we're Christians doesn't mean that this life is going to be our life, but it certainly helps us to understand that the Christian life can maybe be different than what we thought it was going to be like. I was just telling Carrie about this story the other day. But then a chapter or two later in Acts, it says several days later. So Paul's on his way to Jerusalem, and they're meeting together, and this fellow Agabus, he shows up. He has the gift of prophecy. He arrives from Judea, so he's visiting, and he goes over and he takes Paul's belt and he binds his own hands and feet with it. Do you guys understand the picture? So he's in this meeting. They're all meeting together. He takes Paul's belt and binds his hands and feet with it, which would be a little different. But then he says this, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. So you got this visiting guy who has this gift of prophecy. He takes Paul's belt off. He binds his own hands and feet. And he says, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be when he... So what would your response be? I mean, what if I said, you know what, I'm heading to Washington, and I feel like the Holy Spirit's taking me there, and then Ellen Fields, nicest lady in the church. I'm only half kidding. But anyways, she takes my belt, binds my hands and feet, and says, if you go to Washington, this is what's happening. Part of me wants to say, the first thing I would say is, whew, I'm not going to Washington. But Paul doesn't say that, but everybody begs him, don't go. It says, when we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul, do not go to Jerusalem. Do not go to Jerusalem. So he's already being led by the Spirit to Jerusalem. He already knows that jail and suffering lie ahead. And then a few days later, this guy comes in, does this thing with the belt, and says, it's going to happen to you this way. And then he says, then Paul says this, why all this weeping? Why would he say that? Apparently everybody was weeping and crying. He says, why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. So Paul makes this declaration. And then what do the people do? Do they stop? No. They keep saying, Paul, don't do this. We get that you love the Lord like this, but don't do this. This is not... It doesn't make any sense, but apparently it made sense to the Lord because the Holy Spirit was directing him to go to Jerusalem. And again, I'm bringing this up because sometimes our life can be difficult to really kind of figure out. How do we deal with difficulty and suffering in our life, and how do we make the pieces fit? They don't always fit. And we always want to make the pieces of our life fit. And sometimes we try to be helpful with people and try to explain to them why the pieces of their life fit. And some of our answers aren't very good, and some of our answers aren't even very helpful. So Paul says this, his heart is in a great place, and then finally the people say this, when it was clear that we could not persuade him, we gave up and said, the Lord's will be done. Really a place where every Christian needs to be, especially when they're going through a very difficult time in their life. And they think, how does this equate with being a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus? How does this hardship that I'm dealing with equate? Doesn't it seem like if God cared about me, he would do something different than what's happening right here? Now, I don't know what you've gone through or thought about, but I imagine that's at least been the thought of some people in this place. How could God, who can do everything, leave this undone? How could he let this happen to me? How can he not understand what I'm going through? But I think ultimately for all of us, we have to be able to come to this place. You know, Lord, your will be ultimately accomplished in my life. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, and again, think about who he was, all that he went through. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten several times, multiple times. He was stoned, left for dead. But he says this, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. I thought that's interesting because I've heard dozens of Christians say, even if Jesus isn't real, I'm glad I'm a Christian. Think about that for a second. Even if Jesus isn't real, I'm glad I'm a Christian. I think by definition that makes you at least a fool. But what they're saying and what they've almost said in every case that I can think of is this. The life that I've chosen to live because of my faith in Christ is really serving me well in a lot of ways. You know, I'm not a drunkard, I'm not a cheater, I'm not this, I'm not that. Because of how I've decided to live because I am a follower of Jesus, I think it served me well. And I get that. I think being a good person does serve us well. But by the way, there's bad things that happen to good people and there's really good things that happen to bad people. So, but what Paul was saying here is, listen, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we're the most to be pitied. And especially think about him because of the life he led. A life of incredible sacrifice and suffering and jail and all of those things. Okay? But it's this man that talks about being careful how we live. So one of the things he says, I guess before I get to there, this is from Colossians. So Paul's got all this going on in his life, and think about where you are and what things you're going through. And this same Paul then writes this in Colossians. He says, since then you have been raised with Christ. That's that image of being raised from death to life in Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Because earthly things can discourage us. So he says, listen, you've been raised to new life in Christ, so understand that there's something way bigger than the stuff you're going through. Why in the world would Paul be willing to go through all that he went through? Because he was setting his mind on heavenly things. He realized that life was more than just what we have now. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. Paul says, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, it's hard for me to grasp, but I think, isn't it going to be that the Christian's belief is that Jesus is going to come one day and then his people are going to be gathered around him? Now, that should be a pretty fantastic moment. I have no idea what it's going to be like, but it'd be pretty fantastic. So with all that said, that man writes these words. And so we have to think about this. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. So we've talked about that for the last few Sundays. Now he says this, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And so I just want to talk about this just real quickly, kind of 3 points about making the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Our lives are a treasure of opportunities. Do you know who said that? Me. I didn't put my name there because it's kind of potentially obvious. But But I was thinking about this and I thought, you know what? Our lives are a treasure of opportunities. Now, last week, I don't know what it was, but everybody talked to me about my facial hair and my clothes. So I redid it and I bought a new shirt. Here's how I did it, though. I told Carrie, I said, let's go to Kohl's. I got to buy some shirts. So we go to Kohl's, and I hate to shop. I would rather wear things I don't really like than go look at three or four stores for something that I love. I mean, I don't even have to think about that. You know, just buy me something and bring it and I'll wear it. Don't make me go shop for it, even if I really, really love it. So anyway, but I'm thinking about this because I'm going to be preaching on it today. And I'm just thinking about make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And so I'm just sitting around here and I thought, you know what? Instead of complaining, I'm thankful that I can buy shirts. Because there was a time in my life when I wouldn't have been able to say, hey, let's go to Kohl's and get a shirt. So I thought, man, this opportunity isn't bad, near as bad as I thought. And then Carrie helped me pick out some shirts. And then she said, I'm going to go buy she told me a particular shirt. And I met up with her, and she had three or four things, but not that particular thing that she was buying, which I thought was interesting. But anyways, we finish, and we're driving home, and we're talking. And I said, I have really enjoyed being with you tonight. Now, don't. And I could tell I kind of took her off guard. And so she was wanting to kind of respond, but she decided she wouldn't. I mean, she didn't respond to what I said, but I just thought, this is wonderful. Am I not blessed? And we've been on that road maybe 100 times. But I'm thinking, God, help me to make the most of every opportunity. Help me to realize that my life isn't just about these big points that jump out and slap me in the face. Maybe if I stop and think, I would realize that my life is pretty incredible. So even for you, even if you're going through bad times, and I do not look at my life and say, man, you are living a rough life. I don't. But maybe you are. But still, I think even your life offers a treasure of opportunities. It doesn't mean everything's going good in your life, but God has not forgotten you. And even if you're bound to Jerusalem and all you know is jail and suffering, I think God wants to be with you on the way. Napoleon Hill. Does anybody know who Napoleon Hill is? Raise your hand. Don't be shy. Okay, thank you. One person. I found this quote because I was looking up opportunity quotes. He says this, your big opportunity may be where you are right now. I thought, I like it. I like it. And I thought, well, who in the world is Napoleon Hill? He might have been Hitler's right-hand man. I don't have any idea who Napoleon Hill is. So I looked him up. He's the author of this, Think and Grow Rich. Born in 1883. We're always thinking that life is about money. Money will make me happy. Or even security will make me happy. And I look back and I thought, man, this has been going on forever. But those kind of things don't make you happy. I mean, you can be rich and very unhappy. I'm not saying to have enough to get what you need is worse than being poor. What I'm just saying, I get what we, but it doesn't make us happy. But the truth is this, even as Christians, your big opportunity might be right where you are now. And a lot of us think, I wish I were in a different place. Anybody ever thought that? And I get it. I mean, you might be able to tell me your circumstances, and I think, man, if I were you, I'd want to be in a different place too. But maybe the truth is your big opportunity might be right where you are now. Anyway, think about that. I gotta speed up. So here is Paul again. I really have this for the second slide, but I couldn't bypass these words. He says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. And again, in life, you know, sometimes we cause our own problems. But a lot of times we don't. But there's a truth out there that we harvest what we plant. Now, there might be, again, there's always exceptions in the sense that somebody does bad and seems to get good, and people do good and seem to get bad. But Paul says this, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. It just will not ultimately pay off. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. And that's what Paul was after. So Paul didn't mind going to Jerusalem because he was sowing his life in the Spirit. So then he says this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. I had a lady tell me one time, I almost looked like I was sucking on lemons, but she came up to me and she said, Larry, when you're feeling bad, do something nice for somebody else. I didn't want to hear that. That's good advice. So maybe where you're at is an opportunity, even where you're at, to bless somebody. But again, we have to be careful how we live. We have to think about every opportunity. Paul says, make every opportunity. Napoleon Hill also said this. Don't buy his book, by the way, when I'm done. But opportunity often comes disguised in the form of misfortune or temporary defeat. Nelson Mandela said this. This is amazing, especially for those of us who lived in single cells. You had the time to sit down and think. And we discovered that sitting down just to think is one of the best ways of keeping yourself fresh and able to be able to address the problems facing you. And you had the opportunity also of examining your past. So what's he doing? He's looking at his past in a cell all by himself. There were some good things that came out of that. So I imagine there can be some good things come out of wherever it is that you're going through right now. Paul says this, not Paul, Jesus. He says, you will stand before governors and kings because you are my followers. Now, that was not for good news. He says, but you're going to end up standing before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other believers, unbelievers, about me. There's another passage that's almost exactly like this, but it says, it kind of was worded like this. When you're brought before kings and rulers, don't worry about what to say, because at the proper time, the Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. So every time I'm in a situation where I think, I don't know what to say, somebody has died, I'm confronted, or I'm having to speak somewhere, I'm not, just, and I think, don't worry about what to say, the Holy Spirit will give me the words. Okay, let's finish with this. So Paul says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Listen, because this might be the most important. We live in a spiritual world. And I find it very interesting, especially with believers. I mean, they're ready to get up and fight if you talk about how old the earth is or how many. Was it created in six real days? Were they long days? Were they this? Now, all these things that can be somewhat speculative and how it actually worked out. People are ready to fight over those things. But they essentially, the naturalistic worldview is that all this is by accident, and when we die, it's all over. That's just what basically they believe. It's all a huge cosmic accident, and when you die, you're dead. And Christians hate that idea. Yet they don't live like we're in present evil days. You know, I have said before, everybody is going someplace forever. And I was sharing with someone after they tried to commit suicide. And I was sharing my faith. And this is what they said to me. I never knew you believed that way. Now, I don't know how he missed it, because I was really living for the Lord at that time. But I thought, you know what? We talk spiritually. We think about this idea of evil days, but we don't think about the idea of really sharing the gospel or even really living the gospel. And so one of the things I want to encourage you today is, listen, you know, we live in a spiritual world. And Jesus says, wide is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life. And it's a little bit like the idea that Christians have the answer for a disease that everybody has, but nobody really wants to tell anybody about it. Now, I get it. Let's say you have a headache. Somebody comes to you, everybody's got a remedy for it. Well, have you tried tying two rubber bands around your left arm just above your elbow? Kick yourself in the shin and take an aspirin and it'll go away. And you're like going, you're crazy. I ain't listening to you. And I just say that to say, you may have friends and family and neighbors that don't want anything to do with the Lord. But they need to know about the Lord. They might not need you beating them up or pushing it down their throat, but they need to know that God loves them. So who's their representative? Who's God's representative? You are. So Paul is saying, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days, because these are spiritual days. Everybody's life doesn't go forever. And so while we believe that God created everything and we believe in the idea of a wide road and a narrow road, we're so not wanting to share about it. And here's, I think, part of the reason why we don't want to share, because we think we have to share like other people tell us how to share. You don't have to share like other people tell you how to share. But you need to be thinking, these are spiritual days. These are evil days. People need to know the gospel. People need to know that Jesus loves them. And so Paul's saying, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. This is what he says in Colossians. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Now, anytime I share anything like this, I think people get nervous. You're making me nervous. Are you wanting me to talk about my faith? I'm not comfortable talking about my faith. I'm not even talking about that. But if you believe everybody is going someplace forever, and you know that God loves them, and you know that Jesus is God's son, and he died on the cross so that they could have a relationship with God, at least be praying for them. Pray for them. I did. I prayed once for them. Are you kidding me? Pray for them. Pray for strength. Pray for wisdom. Pray for the opportunity. Nothing can compare that I have experienced leading somebody to a personal relationship with the Lord. One of the greatest things in my life, there was a guy in my basic training, we fought every night about spiritual matters. I mean, literally about every night, once we kind of got to know each other. They called him College Boy because he had like a year of college. That's all the drill sergeants called him, College Boy. And boy, we would argue about our faith. And about a year or two after I was at Olivet, I got a letter from the guy. Somehow he looked me up. He said, by the way, I became a Christian. I thought you'd want to know. Now, I didn't do it, but I got to be a part of it. He at least thought of me when he became a believer. And I'm thinking how incredibly awesome it is to help somebody who's dead to become alive, or who's blind and see. You think, oh, it's the people I know are just too hard. I get it. But I'm saying live your life making the most of every opportunity. I mean, pray about things like this. Now, I'm talking loud because I'm thinking it's true for me. Am I praying for the people that I love that don't know the Lord? Well, I might pray for them every now and then. And again, you can't pray for everybody. I mean, you know, maybe a bunch of people, but make the most of every opportunity. God, what are you doing with my life? Paul says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. I'm going to finish with this, and then we're going to sing. So here's Peter. We got to hear from somebody other than Paul. But here's Peter. He says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. By the way, if you're going to make any kind of real difference in the lives of your family, friends, and neighbors, everybody can hear my voice. If you're really going to make a difference, you need to revere Christ in your heart as Lord. He needs to be the one calling your shots. If God is just a puppet or a genie in a lamp that you rub when you have a problem, that isn't going to do anything for anybody. Somebody sees you and Jesus Christ is really Lord of your life. They can't get away from that kind of stuff. Now, they might not say anything to you, but they could see it in your life. You're different. So Peter says, listen, you need to revere Christ in your hearts as Lord. And when you do that, people are going to ask. And he says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. And you think, I've known this person for 3 years and they've never asked. I'm seeing, make the most of every opportunity, because I can count all kinds of opportunities in my hands where I'm looking for a different opportunity. I'm not looking to talk to Ken about the Lord because this guy is a hard nut to crack. But I think Carrie likes me. I kind of got an in with her. I think she's the one that the Lord's going to get to. And God's saying, you know what? Ken's the guy. Take the opportunity you have with Ken. And again, I don't know how God's going to do it. I'm just saying these are evil days we live in. They're spiritual days. The devil is your enemy. He wants to destroy you. And I know we care about our family, friends, and neighbors who do not know the Lord. I know we do. But I think we think, what can I do? And I don't know what you can do, but I just want to give you this encouragement. Make the most of every opportunity. Have you ever really blown it with somebody? I mean, literally gone crazy or done something stupid. And it's just like, I'm wrecked. My reputation, I'm wrecked. So I just want to say, listen, make the most of every opportunity. I don't know what God's wanting to do, but I think he's wanting to do something. But it's a different thing. And again, this whole idea with be very careful how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. The idea is this. This is not a verse that makes you feel good for a week and then you go away from it. You have to be thinking about it all the time. Larry, are you being careful how you live? Are you making the most of every opportunity? You know how many minutes? Anybody know who Angelo Gattaldi is? Yeah, you would. He's a sports nut. And I've given him so much of my time. Not to say anything about Angelo, but he is not worthy of my time, to be honest with you. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it, listening to him occasionally, whatever. But do you understand what I'm saying? Make the most of every opportunity. And the one thing I just thought of as I looked around the thing is we need people, other people to say, are you doing it? Are you making the most of every opportunity? You think, well, you know, that's kind of pushy or whatever. It's like, do we not realize we live in evil days? Do we not realize people are making decisions that are affecting their future, their eternal future? And we think, well, I don't want to be like hyper spiritual, crazy spiritual religious. People will be distracted from me if I'm crazy, if Jesus is really Lord in my life. Well, that's the only thing that's really going to get them. Not being nice. Christians, we got to get away from this. I'm done now. Praise him, come on up. But we got to be done with this idea of being nice, that being nice is going to win people to the Lord. There's all kinds of nice people in the world. I mean, I am nice. I'm serious. I am. But you know what's funny? I just give myself to niceness. lot of nice people in the world. People need me to be more than just nice. They need me to represent the Lord. So let's stand. I don't know if this has done anything for you, but I hope it's this. I hope you're just putting this stuff in your mind. Be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And just begin to live it and think it and process it. And then allow the Holy Spirit to use your life. Let me pray real quick, and then we'll sing. Heavenly Father, I'm kind of excited right now in the sense that I have seen you change the lives of people. I've seen it. And Father, I've also experienced what seems like just huge periods of drought in my life, where there seems to be no spiritual activity. I feel like I'm spinning my wheels. I feel like I'm out of gas. I feel like I'm overwhelmed with the cares of the world. So, Father, I mean, we're all at different places. But I pray that we would really begin to, just these few verses that we've been fixing our time on and focusing on, that we would really begin to try to live that way. And to understand, like Paul says in Galatians, that if we don't give up, at the proper time, we're going to see a harvest. So, Father, thank you. We've all heard something different from you. Hopefully we've heard from you. But again, for me, help us. Most of us here, we believe that we're in evil days. We get that there's a spiritual dynamic to life. But it just is so hard to figure out what that means. So I pray that you'd help us. And I pray that we would make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Help our eyes to be open. Help us to maybe see that person that's struggling. Or help us just to answer that, maybe that nudging in our heart that your Holy Spirit is giving us to maybe to talk to somebody or even text or write a note or whatever it might be. Father, thank you for this awesome truth that while we may not be the Apostle Paul and our life may never be written down, the life we live matters a lot. So help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your patience. But help us to live a life worthy of the calling we've received in the Lord Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.